Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornel West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slang. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Might work, still a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodents still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still ride, still obliging. Still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcement. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Climb instead of how your back heavy, beat and lost your mind. Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with that same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug
America,
heritage.
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America? I done gave you all that I own, America. Took me from my mama so young, America. Locked me up and gave me your name.
America, 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 you know the black freedom movement constitution. Conscious, you know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation, even as that nation been trying to render us soulless. So we're our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the bloodstained same banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before, we shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young.
Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you so very much tonight. You've tuned in for sure to the Dr. Mary Lee Live Show. Every Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, we are here. And we've been here for almost 3 years every Wednesday night, bringing you powerful, stimulating conversation, up-to-date current information, making sure that you were involved in the conversation every step of the way by hitting one on your phone, ladies and gentlemen. We made that known to you every show. Hit one on your phone if you want to get in this conversation, ladies and gentlemen, because we're not teaching classes. We're just bringing current subjects that can hopefully stir you to begin to do research, hopefully stir you to want to do your own podcast show, because we give you that opportunity with Dr. Mary Lee and the team. She comes with the team every week, and as always, she's going to introduce the team and bring the team to the conversation. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I get to be the captain of the ship. The captain of the ship's job is to make sure that everybody is heard and respected. No matter what the captain feels about the perspective that comes to the table, he has to or she has to make sure that everybody is respected. And we've done that so very well, to the credit of Dr. Mary Lee, and to the point where, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go live video real soon. So once we go live video every week, then we'll be able to synergize with each other even more. It's been an incredible ride to be able to come week after week and conversate and share with people that we've never had an opportunity to shake hands with, never had an opportunity to pat them on the back because we wasn't in their presence, not yet. But the goodness of these new tools that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is that if we use them, they will work. And so we're excited, you know, as always, to be able to bring a subject to the table. And I didn't bring any guests because I wanted to, Dr. Lee, kind of get my perspective out there, open up the lines, and then hear very strongly what everyone else has to say. We talked so powerfully last week about insurance and what the insurance industry is doing and what they're not doing. And so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we thought we would talk about an angle of what's happening with a lot of our young men that are signing contracts and insurance policies are put on them. And, you know, I know we're living in a time where we got to be careful about what we say. I know, but if we're going to open up a forum for people to be able to come and talk, then, you know, and we want them to have the freedom and the liberty. What I like about Christ is that in Christ there is liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which has set you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And what we're finding is, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been tied up in bondages based on contracts that we've signed, that we put our names on those contracts. And a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't read the contract, whether it's a marriage contract or whether it's a record label contract. And I would conclude, and as I bring on Dr. Mary Lee, I would conclude, ladies and gentlemen, that what makes us rush and sign those contracts too quickly is our personal lust. Many young men are leered into contracts that they don't read because they have the lust for the what's on the other side. And so as we have professionals on tonight that know this subject very well, we want to open up the lines. Hit one on your phone if you want to get into this conversation. Where we have men rushing into marriages with women too quickly, too fast, because they lusting for the cucumbers. They want the cucumbers so bad that they will say, to death do you part, to do our part, because of her hips, lips, and tips. And sometimes now, them ain't even her lips, definitely ain't her hips. But lusting after the cucumbers, we find our young men. Samson was in that position. Lusting led him into a situation where his godly insight was stripped because he couldn't see straight. Some of you heard those saying, love is blind. No, that's lust. Love should help you see very clearly. Lust is love with dust on it. And once you blow the dust off, that's all you have is dust. And so what we're talking about tonight is those contracts that we sign too quickly that leads some of it into death, because with those rappers, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm trying to be like Christ used parables, but some of them sign their life away. And that's what I would call a blood covenant, a blood contract. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into this conversation. Dr. Mary Lee will introduce the panel and all the powerful people she has coming to this conversation. If you want to get into this conversation as well tonight, ladies and gentlemen, hit one on your phone. Dr. Mary Lee, I appreciate you so much allowing us to bring this to the table tonight on the Dr. Mary Lee Live Show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Cannon. Certainly appreciate you and our listening audience. I really appreciate you and where we are today. You know, God has brought us a long way, and he's carrying us even farther. So I thank you for all of your pushing and all of your ideas. You know, this is kind of, I have to share this because James Cannon is a very, very loving, unique type of a person, and he sees qualities in people that they don't see in themselves, and he has his way, or you have your way, and I'm just saying he because I'm speaking to the audience. He has this way of just like nudging you, and I mean to the point of you're like, okay, I'm hearing you. Give me a minute, please, to think about this. But it's just been also good. And the intents are always just so, you know, from the heart. And that's what's important. And it's never for any personal gain. Ever, ever, ever for any personal gain. He loves people and loves helping people. And so I appreciate you, James Cannon. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we do have a great show tonight lined up. And I want to be certain that we have our guest, Mr. Kenneth Carson. If you would please tap one on your phone, if you are here, so we can open up your line. The numbers that were provided are not showing up on the board. So please tap one on your phone that you're calling in from so that we can open up your line. Okay.
I just tapped one. Can you hear me okay, Doctor?
Mr. Carton, are you here?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can now. And can you tell me what your last four digits of your number is what? Just the last four digits.
7298. Do you see that one?
We're getting echoed too. Someone may have their speaker on.
It should be 7298.
It must be coming up. It must be coming up a different number, but that's okay.
Okay.
So someone, please turn your speakers off or mute your phone. Please mute your phone if you're not speaking. But I do want to welcome you, Mr. Kenneth. And I want to thank our panel guests who are with us each week, Dr. Tynes, Dr. Moncrief, and Dr. Long. We certainly appreciate you. Thank you for joining us faithfully each week. I do know that we have guests on from Dr. Tynes. excuse me, from Dr. Long. Dr. Long, guest, Mr. and Mrs. Mims, if you are on, please tap 1 on your phone. Please tap 1 so that we can open up your lines. While we're waiting for you to open your line to tap 1, we're going to ask Dr. Longs to introduce yourself. Tell us who you got tonight. You can recap last week just a little bit for us as we move on. You know, we're talking about insurance companies. Now, what about insurance companies? I mean, what about them? Are they good? Are they bad? What's going on? You know, as we talk about insurance, you go into so many different areas of insurance. And, you know, I'm thinking about my dad who passed away. I believe it was in the 81. And from 1981 to this date, the family, we have not collected his life insurance. And he had, you know, life insurance, you know, what people would get back then, but from his work, from his job. But we've never received it because there was not a birth certificate. You know, there's a death certificate. He worked. He paid into the insurance policy. But to this date, I mean, we have done everything we could to even get his birth certificate record. And, you know, we found some information. But at one time, he did have a birth certificate. So, but what happened to it? But going back into, because he was born in Arkansas, so, you know, done all kind of research and gone back and requested records. No birth certificate, they say. So the insurance company refuses to pay because there's no birth certificate. But, you know, being the person that I am, they ain't heard the end of this yet, okay? And certainly will be worth a lot more than what it was in 1981 when we do get them. And I'm going to get them, period. So, you know, this is some of that what is about insurance companies. And so, you know, we got death certificates. We've got he worked. You know, we've got monies that were deducted for insurance, but they refused to pay. So that's just my little story. Dr. Long, let us know who you are and who you've got tonight. And please, guests, please tap 1 on your phone so that we can open up your lines. Dr. Long.
Thank you, Dr. Mary Lee, and I want to say hello to the panel, Dr. James Cannon, and all of my other colleagues who are on the line for sure, Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Times. I'm Dr. Curtis Longs. I'm a physician. I practice psychiatry and neurology in the metropolitan Detroit area. Our topic last week in terms of insurance companies and how they get away with not paying different, paying for different services, or they select the services. And now this whole idea of having patients pay for specific parts of procedures such as colonoscopies and, you know, patients having to pay for polyps if they're there. As I stated earlier, I practice in the field of psychiatry, and as we know around the country and around the world, mental health is now being acknowledged as something very vital in all of our health care. You know, last week I kind of brought up some things regarding insurances, but it's also regarding relationships, particularly relationships between physicians, patients, and how some insurance companies have kind of come in between that relationship and the whole idea and the need for individuals, physicians, of caregivers, and particularly patients to understand what consents are and how informed consents work, and the whole idea of prior authorizations and things like that. One of the things I concluded last week that may have kind of gone under the radar, my conclusion and recommendation was to colleagues on the panel and those who may be listening, was to keep your private practice. And some folks may say, well, what do you mean? Everybody's in private practice. Well, unfortunately, not everybody can afford to stay in private practice. And I always tell individuals that I see in my private practice that, you know, I get a joy out of serving individuals, but really keeps my own sanity in check, particularly when I'm working in other entities where the practice of medicine has kind of gone astray, and a lot of physicians wind up being held hostage with these insurance companies. So tonight, let me say, in my private practice, I see individuals from age 2 and as old as 102. With adolescents and young people, I do see individuals with depression, anxiety, and things like that. But one of the areas that I practice in, and I probably spend most of my time in, is in a sort of a forensic setting. I'm mental health director for the largest juvenile detention facility in the state of Michigan, which is called the Wayne County Juvenile Detention Facility. And ironically, when kids come in that facility, no matter what their offenses are, I'll just tell you that everything is in front of them in terms of health care, dental care, whatever it is, you know, it's there. But when these individuals get discharged from these facilities, you would think that their health care continues, but unfortunately it doesn't, which leads to the recidivism rate with kids coming back in there, particularly if they have some diagnosis which needs treatment. So I have on, I've invited tonight a family that I see in my private practice, which is called Behavioral Health Associates, PLLC, is in Southfield, Michigan. And I thought it would be ideal and definitely significant to the discussion about healthcare, insurance companies, consents for treatment, what relationships really are with physicians and their clients, and the whole idea of prior authorizations. This family, the Mims family, they can, if they're on the line, I really hope they are, they can provide a scenario of what happens when health care is not delivered in a way that most people would think, and how prior authorizations and things like that can lead to some very negative circumstances. And so if they're on the line, I invite either Mr. Mims or Mrs. Mims to tap one on their line, and they can provide description of the ordeal that they're going through as we speak.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead. Welcome. Is this Mr. Mims?
Yes, this is Samuel Mims. How
okay.
are you all today this evening?
Good.
Wonderful.
Oh, great. You're doing well.
Well, at this time, dealing with an ordeal with one of my sons, and he's been diagnosed as bipolar, with bipolar depression, and right now he's currently, he just recently had an episode where he went, I guess, what did you call mania, experienced some mania, and got himself into a situation where he left town and ended up having to check into a hospital in out of state, and he was uninsured. So it's been a lot of back and forth over the phone trying to reconcile, get him covered so that he can be treated properly before we go and get him to bring him back home, and to make sure that he gets to continue getting the treatment that he needs. The biggest critique I have of what the situation what we've been dealing with is the lack of affordable long-term care access. It's been as kind of runs you around the system in terms of getting the Medicaid, the proper medication, the proper time to keep him in check. It just it's a lot of red tape.
Dr. Lee, one thing I'm going to add to the discussion in terms of with the Mims family is that, yeah, there are medications out here in the market that will maintain some stability with individuals with whatever the diagnosis is. And I always say in mental health, it's not so much taking the medication, it's the other factors that come with that diagnosis. And with a family, with a young person, such as their son, who's super bright, a lot of gifts, a lot of creativity, but when this sort of diagnosis is brought upon a family, it can be devastating. And I remember meeting the Mims family, and I remember telling them that, yeah, whatever the diagnosis is, there's treatment for it. But one of the factors that's going to weigh heavily with that is that you have young people, and young people are going to be very energetic, and a lot of denial comes into play and noncompliance. Well, we expect that. But one thing we don't expect is that when you have a young person stabilized on a particular medication, and then the insurance company decides that they just don't want to pay for this person to maintain the stability, it can be catastrophic. Last week, Dr. Tynes mentioned some of his clients who were dealing with things like heart disease and things like that, and diabetes. And, yes, yeah, the same sort of stress. But one thing that happens with mental health issues, you know, if a person is unstable, yeah, they'll wind up miles away based on decompensating and wind up in a place where you would never have thought they would wind up. And that's what's going on right now with this family. So my perspective is that people think that as a doctor, yeah, you write the medication and that's all it. No, it's not the case. These other entities that are tied in with insurance companies, such as prior authorizations, can lead to these sort of situations. So, and it's devastating. It's and there's so many families that are dealing with this around the country. And I'd say in this case, thank God that, you know, this young man wound up in a situation in New York where he's receiving some services now. Yet, still the whole insurance issue remains. So it doesn't matter if you have a kid who's adjudicated and whatever crimes they committed, they get all the care. We give them everything in this facility. But when they're discharged, believe me, insurance does not continue. I saw a young lady in my office tonight that I'm seeing as a nonprofit, and she's been off medications almost 6 weeks. So I do everything I can to rely on drug reps to come in the office and give her or provide certain medications, but it's not the same medication I gave her while she was in this facility. So, you know, she could be unstable walking around the city and just wind up in situations even back in adjudication. So I'm thankful that Mr. Mims provided some of the details, but it is really devastating. And, you know, it's not just his family, but there's a lot of families that are dealing with sort of things who didn't intend to go through these situations and are sort of confused because they think all the power is in the physician's hand. And this agreement, you know, this agreement between the patient and the provider is really a false agreement. It's not what it used to be years ago. So, again, I'm thankful that Mr. Mims was able to provide the story and some of the details. And like last week, we talked about metabolic issues, but it can be just as devastating and more devastating when you're dealing with situations dealing with our mental health.
Can I ask a question real quickly?
Yeah.
Initially, in situations where we have our people out of the community, you know, approaching these insurance companies and approaching these, what the Bible calls the rich man of the world that's controlling, without getting any trouble, I just call them the rich men of the world, controlling a lot of these institutions, how do we find the church being valuable? From a legal standpoint, can we find the support we need to help approach these insurance companies when people find themselves in devastating situations like this one? Is it ever applicable to recommend them to the church, namely also when we're talking about bipolarism and ADHD and diagnoses like that? Is there ever a time, along with the legal side, but the spiritual side, when our kids are quickly diagnosed with bipolarism, we quickly medicate them? My question is, is there ever a time where you've seen in your practice where it's a spiritual need here, we don't need to medicate? That would be my question.
You know, I'd say, yeah, there's always a time when the spiritual aspect of treatment and is always there. But unfortunately, or fortunately, with some of these diagnoses, because when you're talking about the church, and I've had individuals who belong to the church that I belong to who are in a sort of in a space of denial, and they're coming with, quote, what's known as religiosity, particularly with acute mania. So what I'm saying, it creates even more confusion. And sometimes you'll have people who are well-meaning misinterpret certain things, and it can lead to some negative situations. That's kind of what the main problem is that, and I'm going to give a scenario in terms of my training. There used to be a facility in Detroit known as Lafayette Clinic. It was the only research facility in the whole state. Our governor here at the time, John Engler, not only did he close that, he closed every state facility in the state of Michigan. And I would say in terms of mental health, time is a crucial factor, and it's usually not a rush to treatment. When I was a resident there, we had 3.5 hours to do one assessment on one person. Now what's happened as a result of all these state facilities closed, CMH is failing. And for the most part, most folks with mental health issues are in adjudication or in prison. So now let's say if I'm working at a community mental health agency where the majority of people are indigent and they just don't have the funds to pay for a private practitioner, I'm giving maybe 20 minutes to do what I used to have 3.5 hours. So then what happens when the person decompensates because you're not even spending the time that you need to get a full eval? And before you can give a person a what we call an Axis 1 diagnosis, you have to rule out what's called Axis 3 scenarios, meaning if it's a person with diabetes who's presenting with a lot of delusions, well, I can't say the person is delusional from the aspect of schizophrenia or anything else. I have to say they're dealing with the impact of diabetes in their blood system and how it's affecting their brain. So all those things have to be ruled out before you give someone a diagnosis, and that's regarding depression, ADHD, or any of them. So this situation when the MIMS find themselves, this young man has been struggling for a long time. You know, he's had several hospitalizations, and I'll say the hospitalizations probably wouldn't have been as many if you're able to go in the hospital and stay what used to be regularly, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months intervals. Well, those 3 months and things like that have been narrowed down to 2 weeks. And believe me, people are being released without being stable. Stability doesn't even come into play anymore. And any physician knows how to document to get a person out of that hospital. So Yeah, the church is always a vital place to go. The only thing is that with some of these committees in the churches, they're not as forthcoming to provide resources in the form of money to keep people stable. So it winds up being kind of confusing because everybody has their own perspective of what this person is dealing with. But I don't know if that answers the question, but the bottom line is one
yeah, well,
being very confusing.
My next question would be, what would be the difference?
Go ahead, Cannon.
What would be the difference of just as clarity as much as possible, bipolarism versus ADHD? What are we looking at? What makes a person bipolar in your expertise versus a person having
attention deficit hyperactivity disorder?
What is bipolarism leading to schizophrenic? The most severe case of bipolarism, what would you be looking at?
Well, first of all, bipolar disorder is a form of depression. Now, with that form of depression, you can have different presentations. And then they say if it's a form of depression, what are the other forms of depression? Major depression or minor depression known as dysthymia. And with each one of those presentations, there's a time frame in terms of severity of symptoms. So if a person is listed as bipolar manic, mania is a situation where honestly you may hear the storyline from a family member regarding this family, this loved one, that this person hasn't gone to sleep in 2 weeks. You know, this person is very impulsive. This person is very distracted, but their distractibility and impulsivity could have led to some very hazardous behaviors. But at the same time, this person who's bipolar could have an IQ of 180. And so the media may say this person is so creative. He's gifted. And he's presenting all these sort of gifts in the form of mania. But what happens with mania, you go from at the top, let's say that pole, and you can go completely flat. To the point of where you're so depressed, and now you're thinking about killing yourself. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it can be now, like it can be different levels for different people. I mean, it's just that it's like broad. I mean, it's like really, really, really broad. It, you know,
there's a new book that we use called the DSM-5. It's now been sort of divided in at least 8 different subtypes: bipolar mania, bipolar hypomania, bipolar depressed.
Right.
And now they've added on a segment that's called, that I really don't care for. It's called bipolar schizophrenic versus manic. I don't really like that designation because it's more confusing.
Yeah.
Because schizophrenia and all those conditions are psychotic presentations. But let's say if a person is manic versus a person is paranoid schizophrenia, they may present with something called religiosity. And I've had some patients who, quote, lay hands on someone, and that person is no longer alive because the interpretation from the people in the community is going to be, well, you're going to try to harm me. That's all totally different, totally different than what is called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Right, and we don't really want to go, like, deep into this. We're almost halfway through the show already, and we got to get our special guest. We want to kind of, like, stick to the insurance part of it. And because
that is
this,
great, because
you know,
insurance determines everything. It does.
Yeah, so, like, the New York, the Mr. and Mrs. Mims and the family, were you able to successfully – I guess you're still dealing with the insurance issue right now, correct?
Well, my wife, she's unavailable this season because she's still in the throes of connecting those dots with him as we speak.
Okay.
And another than that.
Okay.
So, but she was able through being my wife is a tenacious and determined individual. So I've been as much as anything with getting the situation rectified. She has gotten it rectified, but the average, I would say, if it's someone who, you know, is not as well versed in dealing with that situation, my wife has had some experience of working in pharmacy and in that medical field, so she knows a little bit about how to interact with people in the medical profession and, mm-hmm. and use the term lingo to help people gain access to it. Mm-hmm. Probably just an average person who didn't have that kind of experience will get frustrated and, you know, because it's a wall there. And if you don't, mm-hmm. you just keep seeing a wall and a door, eventually, you know, people, they don't have the kind of time, they'll give up. And so it can be imposing, I would believe. I think that could the average person, average family, to have to deal with a situation where they, you know, feel so helpless and you don't have the resources to help that person.
Yeah, when you don't know how to navigate that system, you know, not knowing how to navigate that system can be extremely frustrating. And so we do have an insurance specialist on tonight, and I believe Mr. Kenneth Carthan is experienced in many areas of insurance. Mr. Kenneth Carthan is president of Alpha Capital. He was born and raised mm-hmm. in Oakland, California, and attended high school and college in the Bay Area. After college, he worked for the city of Oakland as a tree trimmer for more than 20 years. In 1999, while working, he suffered a horrific injury that left him pondering what would happen to his loved ones if he was no longer around to provide for them. This incident led him to a career in the insurance industry, where he previously worked for Farmers and Allstate insurance companies. In 2001, he opened his own brokerage company called KC's, First Stop Insurance, which later became Alpha Capital in November of 2010. In 2008, he lost more than $250,000 in his 401k, which caused him to seriously look at the imbalances in his industry. Due to this loss, he vowed to understand why the wealthy, banks, and big corporations did not suffer loss like himself and other businesses. One day, a young man stepped into his office and began to share valuable information about the insurance industry. Through this interaction, Kenneth realized he could make a difference in the lives of many people by helping them to avoid the same loss he experienced in 2008. Kenneth Carthan has now been in the insurance industry for more than 20 years and has helped families all across the country. He is currently licensed in more than 30 states. He stands firmly on the concept he teaches to clients and business owners. No family left behind is something he lives by, and his overall goal is to help families become financially free and create generational wealth. Welcome, Mr. Kenneth Carthan. Welcome. We appreciate you joining us tonight. You heard, you know, it's a health issue, health insurance, and you heard about my particular situation. So come on in and tell us more about who you are and your thoughts on what you heard up so far. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Absolutely.
Kenneth.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Dr. Lee. Hello, everyone that's on the call tonight. I want to thank the panel of all the doctors that's on, and again, Ms. Lee, Dr. Lee, for inviting me. And this is unique. This is one of my first time doing a podcast, so it's pretty interesting. I'm pretty excited to be able to share a little bit about what I my crusade. And so I was listening to the issues that we have with certain insurance companies and certain obstacles that families are going through. And the sad part about that is everyone is correct that it is a problem, because it's a lot of it is lack of knowledge, too, that I'm finding out. There are so many resources out there, but this is the issue, that who's taking the time to really educate our community on all the benefits that we already have access to. And I did hear earlier, Dr. Lee, about some of the things that our community, and I would say our community, our culture, have went through and suffered over the years behind insurance. But now we're kicking the door down. And the way we do that is by sharing information. So I want everybody, this is one of my things, I always say, write this down. So I have my team on another conference right now, but have about 70 agents across the country right now, okay? And one thing I always say, you want to learn it so you can teach it. Then you become a master at it, then you can duplicate it into others. So there's so much that goes on with insurance. And so what I want to do is just start with maybe just sharing a little bit about the need of insurance. Maybe we can start there, and then we can branch off to any other subjects that or any questions that might come up. And Dr. Lee, just let me know, you know, just send me a text if, you know, somebody want to chime in or they just chime in. I don't know the format all the way, but like I said, I'm just very grateful and happy to be here. And when you told my story, sometimes I forget that injury I sustained back in I think it was 98, 99, I fell over 40 feet out of a tree. And that was a wake-up call for me, right? And from that experience made me really think about, like, there's a need in the industry that's not being fulfilled. So I'm going to read a couple of things that's on my mind, and here's some numbers, all right? So there are, 7.5 billion people in the world, okay? And only about 30% are considered financial literate. I want you to think, and it said considered, and to say that they are, it said considered, all right? Generally, incurable and ongoing chronic diseases and illness, like, you know, some of the speakers was mentioning tonight, affects about 158 million people, and that represents about 40% of the U.S. population, right, that have these ongoing chronic illnesses and incurable illnesses, right? 44% of Americans cannot even cover a $400 emergency, okay? 43% of student loan borrowers cannot even make their payments. And I know they have this forgiveness program out right now, so, but these are just the numbers. 38% of households in America have credit card debt extended. And 51% of American adults have zero saved for what they call retirement. So I would say, when is help coming? Well, the help that we need is here, but it's the lack of knowledge that calls people to error. So I wanted to start with the need of why I do what I do, and I take the insurance and education approach to insurance and finance. So Dr. Lee, if there's any particular things that you want me to cover, I can jump on it, but or I can just share some information. Is that okay?
Just go ahead. Just go ahead from your heart. Just go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.
You're
so that being said, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, insurance, right? Now, there's a book that I will be sending to Dr. Lee, and I would love if anybody listening, all the panelists and all the guest speakers that's on, I will send it to Dr. Lee. It's in a PDF, but it's a book that talks about, it's called Money, Wealth, and Life Insurance. Money, Wealth, and Life Insurance. And I'm telling you, when you read that book, it will change your life financially and bring some light and awareness to what's really going on, okay? And so I love the industry of insurance. Why? Because I get to meet all types of people. I'm talking about people from Sidewalk University, as I would say, to the Capitol, right? And insurance affects every single person in one way or the other, okay? So I have this thing called the power of choice, which I teach to my agents and to my clients, because in the insurance industry, there's so many things that go on. Like I heard I heard one of your podcasts. They was talking about the actors and athletes and, you know, passing away, leaving all this money. And, you know, sometimes the families is not receiving it. And, again, it goes back to understanding what we have and the power of it, all right? So I like to talk about the power of choice. And in the power of choice, there's so many avenues of insurance. Like, you know, everybody know about 401ks and IRAs. Everybody know about life insurance. You've heard of long-term care. I heard of the young man tonight mention long-term care. Very, very crucial to make sure we're understanding the power of these assets, right? They say only something I wrote down, and I wanted to share this because when he mentioned long-term care, I had jotted this down. Let me see if I wrote it on one of my. It said, listen, one in two Americans by the age of 65 years old will need some kind of long-term care, but only one in 10 ever talk about it with their financial professional. That is a big deal about long-term care. That is all about education, right? And when I hear different topics and hear what's going on in our community, it smokes my heart that they haven't talked to me yet, because I want you to know that my whole movement is about giving to our community. When I sustained that injury on my job, all I thought about was my wife and my son. If I would have passed away, I would have been another statistic, a black man dying and leaving his family broke. And from that day forward, I started thinking about my future. And, I mean, it was God divine. I really believe that someone called me when I arrived out of the hospital months later and asked me this question. Are you tired of your job? Are you looking for a change? And that's how I was introduced to this industry. And it actually changed my life. And now I'm so grateful that I'm changing the lives of many people that I come in contact with. So back to this power of choice. We only know what we know. And if nothing changes, nothing changes. Do you agree, Dr. Lee, that if nothing changes,
absolutely,
nothing changes, right?
Absolutely.
So the power of choice, we know about these, all these different strategies, college plans. You hear about fixed index annuities, executive bonuses, legacy planning, wills and trusts, and much, much more. But what they're not telling you is how the wealthy and the banks are using these vehicles. So if I can ask, I think that was, is Dr. Cannon, I think Dr. Cannon, are you on? You the one mentioned about the whole, I think you mentioned about the athletes and actors. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, and I heard that you were a expert on insurance also, so I'm glad to meet your acquaintance.
I heard so you were the expert. Not so much
the
expert, but looking at some of the things that's happening to us for not reading those contracts. And, you know, sometimes we get advice from people that push us through for many different reasons. So I was just, tonight we was looking at the fact that with insurance contracts, you know, we think we need to read them. Maybe we need to get some people involved at the churches, get the church organizations, some to get the churches to help people that don't know where to go to when they got contracts in front of them, whether that's to make a quick decision before the doctor or these contracts that these young rappers be signing. And we've looked at those contracts, and there's insurance that's taken out on these rappers that their parents don't know about. They don't know about. They just lusting after the money real fast, the fame real fast, the things promised to them. And so that's what we were talking about, too, from that standpoint of the insurance companies and these contracts.
Absolutely. So, and I love that you mentioned that because one of the things that my agency focuses on is education. Not just selling a product, not just giving you coverage, but education on why this is the best way to go. And then I don't have to ever sell anything because if I educate my clients, they can make an educated decision on what's best for them, right? And you're absolutely right. People go after the almighty dollar and not understanding what they're signing. And there is something called key person insurance, like I believe Dr. Lee mentioned earlier, correct? Well, if I am a rapper, I'm a key person. So I want to make sure so that whoever owns that contract or whoever's sponsoring, you know, I'm not really versed in all the things that go on with that industry, but I do know this, that if I have a company and I have Dr. Lee working with me and she's a key person to make my company flourish, I'm going to make sure I have key person insurance on Dr. Lee. However, it's supposed to benefit the company and the family, Dr. Lee's family. So what we can do, like, to address those things, we can always have another conversation about how I set that up for different corporations and different entities. But I want to ask you a question. When I mention life insurance, what comes to mind? Tell me what you think about when I mention life insurance. Let's start there.
When you mention life insurance, I think basically whole life, a term life, and pretty much I would say a savvy investor. If you're paying attention to your money, initially I would tell them buy term and invest the difference. But I know there's some other bigger strategies where we can talk about and really get a better understanding of the more insurance you buy, then you use that as a leverage. So initially when insurance comes, I think whole life and term life, I lean to buy term and invest the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
I also would like to ask Dr. Montique, who hasn't voiced anything yet tonight, would you answer the question as well? When you hear the term life, did you say life insurance? How would
yes.
you respond to that?
Well, I mentioned life insurance.
When I hear, good evening, everyone, and thank you for allowing me to participate in tonight's panel. When I hear the term life insurance, I too think of term and whole and universal life policies. But as opposed to Dr. Cannon, I think of whole life as a better option, or universal life policy is a better option for me than a term life policy. So that's my thought
okay.
On that topic.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so let me ask Mr. Mims, if you're still on, Mr. Mims, when you hear the term life
yes.
insurance, what do you think about?
Pretty much the same, the term and the whole life, and
mm-hmm.
it's protecting, basically having an investment to make sure that when I pass on, that my family is able to, one, make sure that I'm receive a proper burial and have something to fall back on while I'm gone.
Mm.
Okay.
And,
absolutely.
So
that's pretty
what do you think about? Okay. So what I'm trying to find is someone on here who doesn't know the term, a term or whole life. I mean, you know, that's who I'm looking for right now. To know what they think about. I mean, average person,
well,
I don't think even understands those terms. And so
yes.
maybe, you know, some of us do. But, and I guess a lay person, let's see, let me see if I've got any hands up. Anybody want to volunteer a response?
Yeah,
you know, because I think you understand what I'm after, Kenneth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because what was surprising, Dr. Lee, is yes, those are terms that people use, but I didn't hear nobody say death.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Like when I mention life insurance to most people, they think about death, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So those, you know, terms and whole life, those are products. But when you think about the word life insurance, most people think about death. And the reason I always ask my clients that question, because I want you guys to listen to something I'm going to read real quick, okay? I love sharing this, okay? So I want you to listen to this, okay? Listen to this. Banks are in the business of money. Banks. They have some of the greatest minds in the world, including economists, attorneys, accountants, analysts, and other advisors, listen to this, helping them to increase the efficiency and use of their capital. Just like everybody on this call, they want to increase the efficiency and use of their capital. But now listen to this part. It's not insignificant that banks place billions of dollars in life insurance. It's a reflection of the value they place on this powerful asset, in the state liability. It provides the utmost, listen to this, in safety, stability, and growth. More importantly, the FDIC allows this asset to be classified as Tier 1 capital, which is the safest capital a bank can have. It's considered the core measure of a bank's financial strength. Now, when I mention life insurance, did any of that ever come to mind?
No.
Absolutely not.
Now, absolutely not. And here we go. This is why what we are speaking about tonight, about life insurance, about health care, it all goes back to this. Powerful asset, not liability. Now listen to this. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, US Bank. I'm just using a few of them. There's thousands of banks. But Bank of America has over $19 billion in life insurance assets. Wells Fargo, $17 billion. Chase, $10 billion. US Bank, $5.4 billion. Let me ask, anybody want to answer this question that I'm at? When do you expect Bank of America to die? Anybody?
No. We don't.
No.
Oh, we don't. So they told us life insurance for when we die. So if they're spending just on those four companies over $54 billion in life insurance, there must be something greater that's going on that we need to tap into as a community. And just so you know, not only banks, but other large corporations like AT&T, Walt Disney, Harley-Davidson, even who's that with the COVID thing? I see Pfizer, all of these, Office Depot, Starbucks, all these large corporations use life insurance, but they give our employees 401ks. They give them term life insurance, but they're growing their wealth inside of the proper structured strategies, right? It's so popular, if they even have their own name, BOLI, Bank-Owned Life Insurance. And then they have something called COLI, Corporate-Owned Life Insurance. Who's teaching our families this information? Somebody. So why did I take this crusade on of No Family Left Behind? Well, I'll tell you, because I really felt that our community was being left behind. Sorry about that. Got my window open. I feel that our families was being left behind with education. And everyone on here, I love that we have doctors and all these wonderful career-driven people on this call. So now a lot of you probably already understand some of these things. But no family should be left behind this understanding, right?
Real quickly for clarity, would that mean, are you simply saying that every family should have the average basic amount of insurance, or are you saying in our new demising of our financial plan, we should put a majority of our money into insurance, a majority of our investing should go into an insurance vehicle? So if I had a, how would that look if I had $100,000 to invest? Yeah, are you saying that I should invest that $100,000 exclusively in insurance?
So this is what I always say. I do something called a personal financial review with every one of my clients. Because it's not for everybody, but it is for everybody. Most people think it costs 10 times the amount that it really does. So whether you have $100,000 or one of my clients that want to put $250 a month or my clients that want to put $1 million a year, you should have it in your portfolio because let me tell you why that's so significant, all right? Have anybody heard of something called like the Rule of 72? Everybody heard of that. If you dealing with finance, everybody should know about these kind of things. And Dr. Lee, like I say, I am here. I want to share the crusade of what I do because everybody's on this call tonight. Life will change after this call. That's how confident I am in what I do and the ability that I have with this education that I want to give to you. So not only you get it, now your family can get it. And how many lives can we change once all of us start sharing the crusade of No Family Left Behind and understanding the power of leveraging certain life insurance vehicles? So listen to this. To answer your question, I like to answer with real strategies, okay? Here's something called the Rule of 72 that was used by Albert Einstein. Everybody know that smart guy, right? right? I don't know all that square equal stuff, but I know the rule 72. All right? And so he came up with this rule. You can Google
money to double.
There you go. Boom. Absolutely. So today, everybody on this call have a bank account. Everybody do. In the bank account, are they giving you 1% today? Nope. Is anybody getting 1% in their bank account? I doubt it. All right?
Nope.
But just say you are. So the way that rule worked, you remember how it worked? I think that was Dr. Cannon, right? 72
divided by
the interest rate.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. What did that equal? 72. So if we have a 29-year-old.
72 years for your money to double.
Yes. 72 years for your money to double. So if you're 29 years old, put 10 grand in the bank, you'll have 20 by the time you are 100 years old. Now, is that good or not good? Grandma told me to open up a bank account when I was years ago. But listen to this, doctor, and everybody on this call. The bank is taking your money and my money, and they're bringing it to insurance companies. Look at this. So if the insurance companies get, like I have accounts averaging 6 to 50% per year, right? One of my clients did 62% last year, right, in insurance vehicles. They're not teaching us this, but let's just look at 12% on the average, okay? That same $10,000, if you put it into an insurance vehicle that is allowing about 12%, now instead of 72 years doubling your money, it's doubling every 6 years. So at 65, that 10 grand and doubled to 640. By 71, which is the new retirement age, that's 1.2 million. So I always ask this question. Do you want to save your money in the bank or where the bank is saving their money? And
that's compound interest.
Absolutely. Compound interest. And a lot of people talk about whole life. I'm not a big component on whole life, but I do offer those. But I use, like I say, family banking strategies where we can talk about it. You know, if doctor want me to, I can talk a little bit about that. So I believe everyone should have a diversified portfolio, and insurance should be one of the main vehicles in it, because there's only three ways to grow your wealth, and that's called fixed, variable, and index. And once you start understanding how to grow our wealth using the right vehicles, we can change our families, the next generation, and our communities. And that's why a lot of people think it's called death insurance, but it's called life insurance, Dr. Lee. It says life, so I try to focus on the life. Dr. Lee looked like she's full of life. She want to live. So how come we can't use the money in life insurance while we're alive?
You know,
right.
When we look at that thought right there, you know, Dr. Lee into the panel, you know, one of the reasons, you know, we don't want to look at insurance stuff and we don't want to put a lot of insurance on us then is because of fear. I've got $1 million life insurance policy over here that's connected not to me living but to me dying. So therefore, I'm going to die to get this. And if I have a beneficiary that I love and they love me, but then I got $1 million on the line soon as I die, how strong will they love continue to be? So who do I trust at that point? Even with the entertainers that have family members, and if one of their family members knows that there's a life insurance policy on them, then they become, you know, a target, for lack of a better word. The other, when we look at the record industry, and that was one of the conversations on the table too, as this brings us to that point, you know, the higher amount of life insurance that I have on me, and if that's if the beneficiary is the corporate structure that I'm in a fiduciary relationship with, then even my partner becomes suspect. If I'm in a partnership and there's insurance on both of us, and we're both beneficiaries to that, then that could become a conflict of interest. So that's what we look at. Are there conflicts of interest in insurance policies at this point like that?
Great question. Great statement. I believe that you have to have what is called the proper structure, all right? Yes, you need your life insurance, but then you also need your living benefits with your long-term care. Then you need what is called your cash value, where you can have your family bank and grow wealth inside of it. But the next level, which everybody on this panel, I can tell, agree that there's a next level. Well, the next level is having what is called a family vault. And in that family vault, that's when you have your trust set up. You have your legacy structure set up. You have what is called your family value structures inside of this family vault. And these are some of the things that we educate our clients on. We have athletes that we work with, and we set them up with family vaults. That way, no particular person is the exact beneficiary. And there's ways to set this thing up properly. So if you have your trust and you have your family vault set up, then the money don't even go to you. It goes to the actual trust. And if you're not named in the trust, you can take me out all you want. You're not getting anything.
The family vault, you refer to as family vault, is that the same as the family bank?
No, that's the next level of a family bank.
That's the next level of a family bank. Okay, so what I really want us to get to tonight, and we have to continue this next week, is fine. What I want to be known tonight is, and I went through several months of tutoring, mentoring on this topic about the family bank or be your own bank, which is where the family, which is what the insurance company, which is what the banks are doing to date and have been doing for generations and generations, which is the same thing that the insurance companies are doing with the wrappers, with the key man insurance. Now, I'm going to go back 40 years ago in the Fortune 500 companies working as an executive, administrator, executive secretary, office manager, all that kind of stuff back in the day. Now, one thing that I've been also director of HR, human resources, where all of the insurance products came across, you know, my desk, where we had to assign different insurances to different people. Now, not knowing what was going on, until, you know, late years, and this is why I have such a huge interest, and I'm with you on No Family Left Behind, because no family, particularly black family, needs to be left behind on this, because we are spending a lot of money, and the banks are getting making a lot of money off of us, okay?
Absolutely.
Back in the day, we had to write policies, and I personally did this, not knowing what was going on what was called key man insurance, okay?
Yes.
Which were the founders, the presidents, certain executives, certain people that they had contracts with, you know, so people even outside of the company, but were
perhaps doing research and development or doing something else creative or was an inventor that you had a contract with on these major, major, major projects on certain key
yes.
engineers, we had to put Key Man Insurance on them. Okay.
Absolutely.
This Key Man Insurance
wow.
basically ensured that anything happened to this particular individual, a certain amount of money, that amount of money that the insurance that was taken out on them, whatever was that, wherever they valued them at, into the millions, it was always into the millions, would
mm-hmm.
come directly to them, to the company, to the insurance.
To the
none
company.
Of it went to the family. That money came to
mm-hmm.
the company. And then, okay,
wow.
so what I've been mentored with this year for several months was Be Your Own Bank, which is on the same, which has the same concept. Okay, and that concept being, okay, Dr. Lee or anyone in on this phone here, on this call, could take out, my understanding is that it's one of the products of Whole Life. There are other products, but one of the products
yes.
of Whole Life that you can get is the Be Your Own Bank or what was the other one for the company?
Infinite Banking.
Yeah, for your company. And so with that particular insurance, which does require a physical, a little physical, also has to do with age as well. But you can
mm-hmm.
literally, instead of depositing your check, your paycheck, or whatever your funds you have into a physical bank, you can put it into your own bank. And the reason why it's called your own bank is because you put that money there into the insurance company, into this Whole Life product, and this particular Whole Life product will then it will gain interest. Okay, so you can literally, if you say $20,000 a month, if you're depositing all of your money, that includes your house note, your car note, your utility bills, all of the money you have to spend out every single month into that insurance policy, it's gained interest. But you can turn around based on your balance, based on the amount of insurance that you have in that Whole Life, then borrow money, right? Borrow money from that particular policy, pay your bills with considerably less interest rate. And that money over there sitting in that bank, in that insurance account, continues to grow interest, and you don't even touch it. It continues to grow, and grow while you're using the insurance money. That's what the banks do, right? This is why they call this Be Your Own Bank, because anybody on
yes.
the line literally can be your own bank. Now,
yes.
that's what
so,
I want. That's what I really wanted
okay.
us to get to.
Okay, let's get into it a little bit. Just understand that I've been setting these up for about 7 years now. My son bought his house from his policy. I recently just got our house using my policy. And so it's a different way of thinking, and I love the way you addressed it, Dr. Lee. So if anybody is on this call tonight, I'm going to go over a couple things, and I just want you to listen to the way I say these things and just understand it's a mindset, okay? And so number one, some of the information I might share might sound unconventional. Because we've been taught, put our money in the bank, let them do what they want to do with it, and we can get it when we can, right? Number two, they told us on the job to put our money in the 401k and it's supposed to be there when we retire, okay? So some information I might share with you is unconventional. Now, this strategy, it's a strategy and a concept. Just remember, it's a strategy and a concept, but it only works if you follow the concept and the strategy, all right? So it's not meant to replace your bank, because you still need it to pay bills if you need it, but it's to enhance. I still have a bank account. Now, here's one thing I want to put on your mind. What is a banking mindset? What is a banking mindset? And what is a compound interest mindset? All right? So now, let me just read something to you just to go along with Dr. Lee. Because Dr. Lee, that was excellent the way you said it. There's a couple of tweaks that we have to fix. But in general, you was dead on. All right? So I want you, here's the traditional way to the panelists and to all the listeners, the traditional way that we've been taught about money. It says you have $100,000 in your bank account. You borrow $30,000. How much is left in that account? Everybody know $70,000 is left, right? Now, in that account that's left $70,000, you're earning minimum amount of interest. Let's just say 1%. You take that $30,000 that you borrow, and hopefully you're doing something wise with the money to go make more money with it, to put it back in the account, right? But you're only earning interest on that $70,000 that's left. Can everybody agree with that? Yes, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, family banking concept. You have $100,000 in your account. You borrow $30,000. Like Dr. Lee, you said it so eloquently. You still have $100,000 in your account. The $100,000 is still earning maybe 8 to 12%. Now you take that $30,000 and go invest in something else to go make more money so you can pay it back to your bank. Now you're making money on the money that's sitting inside of the account. It's causing you, it's called using the same dollar twice. But you made money with the $30,000 that you borrowed to add to the account. That's the basic structure. So just think about this. Most people today, like you said, they get their check. They pay everything else except the number one person that created all the money. They never pay them first, which is yourself. Right? So imagine being able to actually have an account that you can actually use. Like, for example, if anybody want to write this down, and like I said, if we have to continue this, I'm more than happy to revisit this subject. But there's three ways that you want to think about when you talk about funding these kind of strategies. And we all have to remember, you have to qualify. So I tell my clients all the time, when is the best time to qualify? Yesterday, tomorrow, or today? Well, yesterday is too late. Tomorrow's not promised. So the best time to do it is now. Okay? And there's three ways to fund it. So I will get into those strategies later, but one is a monthly strategy. A lot of people think you have to have a whole bunch of money to start. No, you can do it on a monthly basis, but that's more of a long-term strategy, 10 to 15 years. You could do something called a front-load strategy where you have 100 grand in a bank that's earning pennies. Well, you can put 100 grand in this account and still do a monthly contribution, and now you have access to that 100,000. Or, and that's still a 10-year or less plan. And the last one I want to mention is something called Max Fund, where it's a 1 to 5 year strategy. You put a maximum amount in each year or one time, and now this money grows on its own. And remember, banks are the safest, insurance companies are the safest vehicles out there. They the ones bailed out the government. They bailed out the banks back in 1929. These companies been around for hundreds of years. Any company that I work with have to have an A++ rating. One of our companies rolled over $840 million for Lockheed Martin. These are the big boys that we're working with, and they're making sure that their clients are taken care of. And so I could go deeper into it, but at the end of the day, it's using your same dollar twice. And it gives you the different rules, and I'm going to go over some rules with you, then I'm done. If anybody have any questions, but any money that grows in these accounts give you perks, Dr. Lee. It give you protection. Mm-hmm. You can use the money in account for emergency funds. You can use the money in account for retirement, college funds, or just the traditional savings. And don't shoot the postman when I say what I'm about to say, please. All right? Is that fair that nobody won't shoot me?
Okay.
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 These accounts been, these structures been around since 1913. And we even could go back to the 1800s with these structures. That means our mother's mother's mother should have known about it. But like we said, they didn't want us to read. They didn't want us to write. And that's how they kept these things from us. Now we're kicking the door down because now we know we can protect our family with these structures. We can protect our health with these structures, our businesses, our homes. We can protect market loss. Any money that grows in these accounts are protected against market loss. Any money that grows in these accounts are protected against IRS, Internal Revenue Service. They can't touch the money inside of it. It's protected against inflation. It's protected against creditors and, most of all, predators. And that's why we take the education approach to these subjects. And there's a lot more I could cover, Dr. Lee, but I want you to ask me any questions that you might have. Because I don't want to just keep talking about it because it's a lot of information, but it's very, very simple. All you have to do at the end of the day, you do have to qualify. You do have to qualify because it is tied with life insurance.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate you very much for, you know, this detail. And I do want to continue this next week, you know, just based on what I'd say over the past 9 months, I've really been studying and being mentored, you know, in this area. And I do want, you know, our listening audience to learn about this. I want you to become a part of it. And we're going to continue to talk about it to try to uncover, you know, to educate so that you understand this is a way, probably one of the primary ways to build personal family wealth, period.
Yes.
Google be your own boss. Be your own bank. Just Google be your own bank and read up on as much as you possibly can. Listen to podcasts, on the topic, particularly if you run across any black ones out there on YouTube. There's a lot out there, but we are going to continue this topic. So
you know, before moving on, I do want Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Long, can she post up questions? I know Marshawn is on tonight, and so maybe we'll just jump over to Marshawn first right now. You've been sitting there quietly to give you an opportunity to chime in. And thank you, Marshawn, for introducing our guest speaker tonight. Thank you for introducing Mr. Kenneth to Dr. Nerdly Live. Marshawn.
Oh, well, you know, I got to bring it to the Dr. Nerdly show. You know, after I met and I heard the energy and what was capable of what we could do, I was like, brother, man, I got to get you on the show. I think I talked to him on Thursday or Friday, and I'm like, man, I don't know what you're doing Wednesday, man, but I'm going to send it in. I'm going to talk to Dr. Mary Lee, and when I tell her, I'm quite sure she's going to find something, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, just to get you a great opportunity to really get this out to the people. So I do just want y'all to understand that, you know, with Cluster World and what we're doing in the community, we're going to be creating some great concepts, some great ideals in partnership with Infinite Banking, creating some really good projects for the family and the way that we're going to be doing it. So I'm just excited about future, what this is going to mean for the community units that exist as well. So just understand we're going to be doing some amazing integration coming soon, and I'm just excited. Thank you so much for Ken for showing up and really just blessing the people with a great opportunity. But just understand we're ready to go, and everything that we're talking, you know, with Dr. Mary Lee and everything, we're ready to go and move into action. So again, I'm just excited to be here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Dr. Moncrief.
Yes, I appreciate the conversation that we're having tonight, but, you know, I've got some pretty basic questions, like my phone rings 10, 15, 20 times a day with people trying to tell me how to change my health insurance. You know, everybody's got a better vehicle than the other people, so I need to know before I change, what should I be looking for, number one. Number two, it's the same thing with, my life insurance. Everybody's got a good plan for me. How do I pick an agent who is not going to take advantage of me and put me someplace I don't want to be, okay?
Wow.
Those are my questions.
Great question. Great question.
Okay, Mr. Kenneth. Mr. Kenneth?
Yes.
You want to respond?
Can you hear me okay? Yes, absolutely. Great question, and I do agree that there's so many different people out there saying this, saying that, switch here, switch there. This is what you have to do, this, my opinion. It's always mission before commission. Mission before commission. We want you, before I even sit down with a client to even talk about the next level of these strategies, I give them information to read so they can ask informative questions, right? And then we get you qualified. Before any money is moved, we get you qualified. And lastly, is I make sure my clients understand that it's not just something just you just will get. You do have to qualify. So when you're looking at different products, ma'am, doctor, I missed your first name. I'm sorry about that. Just understand that you want to look at the best strategy for you, what you're trying to accomplish, like, you know, age. When do you want to have access to the money? How much money can you put in? You know, what's the end goal? Those are the kind of questions you want to ask before you just start moving somewhere. So I would love to sit down with you and maybe go over some stuff one-on-one if possible.
Dr. Lee, can I respond to that as well? That's a great question.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
You know, when we look, ladies and gentlemen, when we have to make decisions like this, a lot of times we're not going to read that fine print. So it's so wise to have your attorney present. And there's some companies that you can get involved with a very reasonable amount every month where they will read those contracts, they will check off those contracts, they will come and sit with you. Secondly, you, as we talked about the church, you do, if you're paying your tithes to a good church, then you can ask your pastor to be present on those conversations. It's wise, like the brother said, as you build your team, that you have the team with the right people. Because a lot of these insurance companies, though they do a great job selling, they have 500 different products, and it's difficult for them to select from all of their products for the best product for you, and it's difficult for you to do that in one or two visits by yourself. They're smooth in selling to these wrappers. They're smooth. Even the marriage contract, ladies and gentlemen, that's a state contract. You need your attorney present. You need your pastor present. So when you look at these contracts, you don't find yourself in a con trap, you know, ladies and gentlemen, because we believe them as they give us great sales. My question would be, with the life insurance policy, when I borrow that 30% out from my life insurance policy, if I put $100,000 in and I borrow that 30, I'm borrowing my money. And then if I have to pay it back to restore it to its original principal, will I have to pay interest on that money that I borrowed, but I got to pay it back? Because I don't pay it back, they're going to take from the principal of my policy. So in order to understand that, we need to read those contracts. I recommend have your attorney present, have your pastor present as well, especially if you're paying tithe to the church.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Dr. Moncrief, did you get your question answered?
No, not really, because, a lot of people don't have a lawyer. We should have a pastor, but a lot of people don't have a lawyer. And like, you know, I'm getting calls constantly about changing my health insurance, and that led to some of our conversations last week. We got, you know, people changing to these Medicare, managed care plans, and then they thought they had, they don't have. You know, so how do we select what kind of insurance we should have? Who's out there to really help us? Not the people who's calling me 20 times. I'm never going to go with them. But how do I select somebody to help?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But that was great.
Dr. Marquis, did you finish?
Yeah, that was my question.
That's very difficult because. You are so absolutely right. You're constantly getting calls, these calls. You know, I just start blocking them all.
Mm-hmm.
You get the emails. You get the text messages. You know, and they always say, well, that's a good marketing strategy. They say to me, you know, you need to do mass media for marketing and all of that. Okay, you know.
Right.
I blocked so many phone numbers that I would never take out a phone number campaign, you know, unless, you know, people volunteer and say, I want information from you. But I'm not going to be just repeatedly put on a robot calling, because that's what that is.
Right.
And they'll pick up the phone when someone answers, if someone answers. But
right.
But how, I mean, right question. I mean, how? How
right.
can you know what to choose,
yeah.
what not to choose, because you got so many
right.
things, so many different things, and not until you are in it, you know, just like, you know, my last insurance company, health insurance company that I chose, you know, not until I was in it did I know it's not paying for everything like I thought it was going to be paying for, or my copay was going to, you know, I'm thinking, I forget what amount, but it definitely was under $100 or so that I thought my copay was, but I go and I use it, and finding out my copay is almost 50%. I mean, like, so it depends on the services, okay? So what services are you getting? So now we're going back to what the doctors were speaking on last week. So it's absolutely no way for you to know, because you don't understand those policies. And then even with a lawyer on board, a lawyer can try to help you, but at the end of the day, the lawyer is going to give you a disclaimer because of the fact that, you know, the interpretation, you know, of the insurance policy, if they didn't write the insurance policy, they're not the health insurance company. It's too many, like, you know, tiny writing, you know, in there that you can't even see, and too much insurance jargon and legal jargon, and then if this and if that and if this and if that, if you commit suicide, you can get nothing. Your family gets, I mean, you know,
right.
The bottom line, you don't know what that bottom line is going to be based on situations and circumstances. Now, back to be your own boss. This is why, Dr. Moncrief, I have been personally tutored, mentored, because I am extremely interested in this be your own bank and you know, it's, and your company, you know, you can protect, you have an LLC, you have a business, you can protect your investments with this as well. So I've been studying for 9 months so far, you know, and, you know, I feel, no, I don't know at all, because they're different. Even with that, there are different products underneath that you can choose from, you know. And then you got insurance riders that you can add onto that, you know. So then what do these riders mean? You practically got to go to insurance school. But I like the approach. I like the approach, you know, of educating that Mr. Kenneth is, you know, is offering. And I'm really glad for this conversation. But, you know, it's just, to me, you know, it's you know, you look at things, I think it boils down to who do you trust as an agent. You know, that individual, how much time that individual person is willing to spend with you to answer questions for you. You know, not just call and then you do something real, real quick, and then you don't even get to talk to that guy or that woman again. So I believe in personal services, you know, your customer services. That's what's important. If this somebody, can you call this agent up? Like I had, I never will forget Mr. George. His last name assists me right now, but he provided, you know, he was part of insurance lesson, but I had it for a long time, and he was my agent for many, many years. You know why? Because he gave me that personal service, that personal customer service. I could call him up. He will answer the phone. You know, I wasn't blocked from him. So I think that, you know, that is one way of helping to make decisions. How much time is an agent or representative willing to spend with you? Do you have to talk to your, you know, the secretary or clerk, and you can never talk to the owner or that person, you know, or your agent? That's important. This is why I personally, you know, talk with my clients, sit with my clients, share with my clients.
Yes.
This is the reason why, you know, I even have a Facebook page. I want all of you to know I'm a human being. I'm a real person. You know, I don't have anything to hide from you. You can go and look at my web, at my Facebook, my LinkedIn, learn anything about me you want to know. You can go to the website, which basically right now is being revamped, so it's not up there. But, you know, my life isn't open book. And not saying that the agent's life has to be an open book, but what I'm trying to emphasize, that personal care. And that,
yeah, personal
that
care.
Is first. Yeah, that's
gotcha.
First and
Doctor,
foremost
can
for
I,
me.
Can I make a statement? Can I add a little? So a lot of times,
yes,
you know, and I
yes.
deal with clients,
yes.
I deal with that question a lot, and I love that the doctor asked that because, there, like I said, there's so many things out there. But one thing that we always have to remember, they say if you ever want to hide something from anybody, put it in a book, right?
Black person,
and
yes.
I'm telling you, there's information out there. And Matt, like, leaders are readers, and that's what I do. But I want to share something to you too with the family, because this is a family now. I feel like I'm part of the family, Dr. Lee. Thank you.
Okay, you are.
But let me say this: there's something called the no life insurance will, right? So at the end of the day, it's life insurance, but it's the concept
mm-hmm.
that we're using to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at mm-hmm. the no life insurance will. Like, cause sometimes we can overcomplicate things and think too hard on things, and next thing you know, we done got an illness, and now we can't even qualify for it. But let's look
mm-hmm.
at the no life insurance will. Family members can't even afford to travel to your to the funeral. Family forced to cremate your remains for financial reasons. When you have no life insurance, no grief counseling. Everybody's devastated in the family, right? No money to cover lost wages in the household, right? Family members have to go back to work right after a funeral because way before they're ready because they have no income coming in. Family must repay debts on their own out of their own money. No money for a funeral. So the other side of not moving on certain things is the opposite, like I just mentioned. So I love education. Remember, if you're educated in any subject, you can make a better educated decision in that subject. And we have, you know, so like I said, I'm just here to give of myself. If anybody have questions, like at the end, we have our website up or give our numbers out. Like I said, I'm going to send this book complimentary to everybody that's on this call. And please, this is what I do. I want you to read it. It's a small book, but I want you to share it with your loved ones. Share it with your family members. And now we can have a conversation about what's in the book to make sure all
okay.
of us grow our awareness, okay?
Okay.
And if I could piggyback, Dr. Mary Lee, real quick. Dr. Mary Lee, if I could piggyback real quick, just to kind of just go in on her question real quick. Just, you know, as we're moving forward, I do understand exactly what she's saying when it comes to trust. But that's what we're doing here. We're building those companies, building those insurance companies that our people can trust. So when it comes down to it, we're going to be the ones creating the new policies. Like he said, it's not about the commission. We're willing to take a loss on the commission so that the people win. So we're going to be creating those insurance, those medical plans that our people are going to be signing on with while we're going into Africa, as we're going to the diaspora. However, we're moving, we're going to be able to create those companies that we can look at and we can say, hey, this is not right. We want to make sure it's taken care of like this. So just understand that those companies that may not exist yesterday, they will exist tomorrow. Thank you. Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much.
So I want you to, all of you who want the book, just 71-998-1964, and we'll be sure that you get a copy of the book, okay? 571-998-1964. And also, if you could provide your contact information, Mr. Kenneth, for anyone who wants to speak with you directly, could you provide that contact information now? And then we're going to ask. Then we're going to ask Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Long, and Dr. Cannon. So we're winding down until next week to And anyone else, if you have a question, please tap 1 on your phone, and we will certainly open you up and let you speak. So please provide your information, Mr. Kenneth.
Absolutely. All right. So my direct line is 510-827-0500. And you could find me on Instagram, Kenneth Carthen Sr. You can find me under Alpha Capital Insurance on Facebook and on Instagram. And I will send out my so you got my number. Just call me. I love talking to people. But I will give you my email address also. Okay. Here's my email address. It is Ken, K-E-N, at Alpha Cap, C-A-P as in Paul, INS.com. Thank you, Dr.
Okay.
Lee. And I'm sending this book to you now.
Okay, great. So it's Ken, K-E-N, at ALPHACAPINS.com. Direct phone number is 510-827-0500, and it's Alpha Capital Insurance. Okay, Dr. Moncrief and Dr. Longs and Dr. Cannon, as we wrap it up tonight, until next week.
Well, thank you again for letting me participate and ask a few questions tonight. The conversation from last week with patients calling in and talking about their loss of coverage without being informed, the lady who was getting chemotherapy was not allowed to get her laboratories covered anymore by insurance, the man who needed a colonoscopy but was told that they needed a biopsy, that he would have to pay for it out of his own pocket. The insurance company wasn't going to cover it. Those issues we didn't touch a lot on tonight, but we're going to be hoping that on October the 27th, Dr. Tynes is hosting a program who's going to address those issues, the changes in insurance and the lack of coverage, particularly that our people are experiencing. And so I just want to put a shout-out, Dr. Lee, for thanking you for bringing this issue back to our attention again tonight, and a shout-out to Dr. Tynes for his program that's going to be on October the 27th. And I hope he'll be furnishing you guys with a Zoom number so that you can participate. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, and we will, yours truly will be hosting this on October 27th, and we are working on information to get out to all of you to please join. And this is a very, very, very important meeting with the Wayne State University, right, who are also hosting this conversation with some of their, key personnel, I believe, in diversity. So it's going to be something that you really want to join in on and listen, with alumni and medical doctors and officials from all around. But it is being put on by Wayne State University School of Medicine.
Yeah, we're going to have
government officials.
We're going to have some insurance companies on to talk about, why. We'll try to explain how they can get away with this. I can't imagine what they're going to say. So you got to tune in to that program. Thank you.
Yes, yes. And so we'll be sure to get that information out to you over the next few days. At least all of our network here, Dr. Marilee, live. And thank you, Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Longs, thank you for bringing on the Mims family, and they're certainly in our prayers. You know, that's just, you know, they're a sample, you know, of so many that are out there. You know, the part of the answer is that we need our own, we need our own wealth, we need our own hospitals, you know, schools, we need our own everything. We need our own insurance companies, we need our own banks, we need our own everything. And there was a day when we did have it. We had everything that we needed. At a time, we were burned out. I mean, literally bombed, okay? Every Greenwood, it was called Greenwood back then in the 20s, 19 to 21, 22, it just, you know, went on until they hit every black, they call it Black Wall Street today, they hit every black business community all over this country. And it started at Greenwood in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's left up to us in this day to help to bring about the changes. There's only so much they're going to give to us, but there is a lot that is available to us. This is why Neighborhood Commerce Institute, this is why Dr. Mary Lee Lysha, this is my why I am here. I'm here to help to organize us as a people. I know what it takes. I've been in this more than 40-plus years. I started out in economic development as a teenager, as a teen, and God has kept my health, kept my youthfulness, kept my strength, kept my mind, kept my ambition, kept my passion. So all I'm asking you all to do is to join in this movement to have our own. Yes, there's money out there. There's grant money out there. They'll never, ever tell you about, okay? They're not going to give you the information. They're not going to volunteer to you. They're not going to volunteer to you how to get it. They're not going to volunteer that it's even there. They're not going to volunteer anything about how to go about and get it. But there is a system. There's a system, and I don't care how much you might not want to go through the system, but you have to. We have to. I know the system. Personally, I've had to work this system, you know, on others' behalf. We want to do it on our own behalf, but it takes all of us. It takes a village, many villages throughout this country. That's what we're working on building. Believe me what I say. We need what's called community development corporations. And when I talk to people about it, they, you know, never really heard of them. We need community development financial institutions, our own. This is where money flows through directly from the government into our communities for any type of entrepreneurial real estate development, for building our communities, for what we need in our communities. We need to, as a people, stop and listen. I don't know a leader, past or present, who have talked about what I talk about, who are really working on organizing us as a people to access money collectively, all together, as collaborators, instead of separately, because there are power in numbers, like Uber. Look, Uber, I mean, it was like they showed up overnight practically in the thousands and challenged the taxicab company monopoly over transport. Uber won. Why? Because it was so many already out there, so many of them that had been organized and structured before they surfaced. So they had a whole company, I mean, nationwide of thousands to deal with. Why can't we do the same thing? Why can't we do the same thing? Why do we have agents selling our hair products all over the world and all over this country in our neighborhoods? Why? Because they organized them. They knew what numbers meant. I know what numbers mean. So all I'm asking is join Dr. Mary Lee, join Neighborhood Commerce Institute when the website gets back up, and let's do this thing nationwide. Let's do it nationwide. We can. It's not something that we cannot do. Okay, so we got a hand up. 757, last four digits are 0999, and then we're going to go to Dr. Long. Okay, just a second. We'll get your line open. Last four digits are 0999. You're live.
Hello. Thank you so much for this show. It's so informative. It's my first time on, but it won't be my last. I'm in agreement with a lot of the things that I've heard tonight and what you've said, so thank you. I do have a question.
Oh, you're absolutely
for...
welcome.
Thank you again. I have a question for Ken Carthen. I know there are a lot of people in our community that need insurance, but they worry about the cost. Cost is always a concern, even when it comes to things that are of necessity. How would you go about helping families who struggle or who would find it difficult financially to cover the cost of insurance?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Thank you for asking that, because that comes up. I would say this. When it comes down to value, if when our clients see the value in certain strategies and what we do, the cost is secondary because they see the value. Now, but always remember, most people think insurance is 10 times the amount it really costs. If you're a 30-year-old, I've seen a person with $25 a month get $100,000 coverage. Now, that's not, you know, like the family bank, but just to get people covered. So the cost is only there if in absence of value. But no family left behind, ma'am. Thank you for that question. No family left behind.
Thank you.
So
thank
no
you
family
answer.
Left behind. Thank you. So a quick question. So with no family left behind, does this mean that basically you'll find a way or we'll find a way?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Just remember.
Okay.
I work for you. I'm not a captive agent that works for quotas or one company. I have over 70 platinum carriers and another 200 preferred carriers. So I work for my client, and I introduce my clients to the different companies that fit their need. Okay?
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. And thank you, Kenneth. Dr. Long.
Again, Dr. Lee, thanks for the platform to be able to talk on different topics. You know, having Mr. Mims, and unfortunately Ms. Mims couldn't participate, I strongly believe that the discussion on life insurance was very insightful, but from my perspective in dealing with what I see on a daily basis is people who are uninsured in terms of health care insurance, or those who have health care insurance, and when they need it, it's not useful. And I think individuals and all of our families deal with that on a daily basis in terms of when a certain product that they need, whether it's for diabetes, high blood pressure, mental health issues, when the health care insurance company decides they don't want to pay. But with that being said, I wanted to ask you, Mr. Kaplan, in terms of, and this is something that I interviewed with a company with a very particular EMR product. And I'll say that I was very disappointed and surprised that on this M&R, healthcare record that I was supposed to use for psychiatric assessment, there were areas on there where I'm supposed to ask individuals, and it doesn't matter the age, you know, do they have an advance directive? Do they have a power of attorney for health care and things like that? So if you can comment briefly on that whole concept that I view are, that I have the perspective of crossing a lot of different boundaries, because I think we kind of mentioned that, you know, for people to understand all this, you need an attorney, you need a person who knows business, you need a physician, you need all these entities for someone to understand that. But how do you go about explaining to individuals, let's say they're looking at life insurance, but how would they know that their life insurance is somehow not incorporated with their overall health care insurance? And if that's true, how does the person choose such that they don't wind up in the situation that the Mims family find themselves in today?
Wow. Oh, that was powerful. Great question. That's always one of the challenges that I've dealt with over many years is, you know, as soon as something happened financially, a lot of times it seemed like life insurance is the first thing to go because you have to eat, you have to take care of your bills and things like that. So what I do is I sit down with a client and we look at the whole picture. We look at the whole picture. And always remember, there's a way to have it all if you schedule it in and you diligent with it. And this is what I mean by that. Sometimes you have to take a step back and maybe get something smaller to protect your mental state, just making sure you have coverage, and content, then you can always grow from there, if that makes sense. So it shouldn't be a choice, because life insurance should be like buying gas or paying your house note or like paying your PG&E. That's how important it should be, because if we die, if we born poor, it's not our fault, but if we die broke and poor and don't leave nothing for it, it's entirely our fault. And it's too reasonable now not to have it. And remember, our products, and I'll finish with this. Yes, we need health care. That's very important. But one thing that's missing, too, is, like I mentioned, living benefits. If you get hurt on the job today, you might have workers' comp. Am I right, doctor? You should have workers' comp. But what if somebody get hurt off the job? What if you get hurt walking down the street and break your leg or something crazy happened? Well, I make sure in our strategies we have something called living benefits that you can use for health care and long-term care, which is a lump sum of money that you can use for health care if you needed it, or to take care of the individual. And that goes along with the your health coverages through the medical side. So that was a long answer, but I deal with that a lot, like how do I have both and how do I – you have to put life insurance up there with air, right? You need it. Thank you.
Help you your question, Doctor?
Yeah,
did I help with
these questions? I mean, the solutions are so complicated. Because as he was talking, I was thinking about when we had Officer Maria Parker on the show, and her ordeal she dealt with the Detroit Police Department based on whether or not her injury was job duty related or non-duty related. And of course, her injury preceded the whole bankruptcy issue in Detroit, and how many officers had life insurance, health insurance, and all that stuff, you know, wind up having nothing. And in her case, she was fortunate because she kept fighting. Then, unfortunately, they had a doctor right in the middle of this deciding whether or not she was worthy to have insurance or not, which is, from my perspective, ridiculous. It made no sense because the doctor was hired, was working for the city. So, I mean, all these cases have all these abstract situations associated with it that people have to deal with on a daily basis. But the answer was very appropriate. Thank you.
Absolutely. And remember, it's private. So these are private accounts. And like when you really look at that book I'm going to send you and really dig into it, these are private accounts. I don't have to tell nobody I even have it. You can get workers' comp and still pull from your life insurance policy. This is how the wealthy create generational wealth for years. And I'm going to share this last nugget with you, and I'm done. Jackie Onassis, it was reported from the insurance industry, we get little stuff, right, that she left about maybe $1 million to her kids when she passed away. But you know that a lot of their money was hidden and growing inside of life insurance policies. That's where a lot of their wealth was created. And you can have all those other coverages included in there. So just throw that out there.
Right. There's so many different types, you know, that I've learned about over the past 9 months. And I'm going to continue, you know, to study, you know. So, okay, Dr. Cannon.
Hey. When you look at the fact, y'all, that we all have to deal with situations, what we presented for you tonight is when they put contracts in front of you, if something that you're buying is as valuable as air, it's so important, ladies and gentlemen. And when you got different people bidding for your time and your money, and get you to sign right here, because they're not going to give you anything unless you qualify and you can sign right here. I think best practices is let's use some of the institutions, like as Dr. Mary Lee shared with you, what we're doing with the commerce here and bringing the right people together over an internet show. We use that. We also want to use the churches in our community. You have to go to the pastors and say, we need a symposium on this subject. Or can you recommend, or you, ladies and gentlemen, it's valuable to bring counsel to the table with you because people respect you more. So if you have an attorney, and Legal Shield is a powerful company that I have an associate with them, Legal Shields Canon Force, and you can find that. They will come to the table for you, $35 a month. They will read every contract, get it back to you within 2 hours. That means if you sit down with your doctor, the insurance company, if you sit down with the record label, if you sit down, ladies and gentlemen, and you're going to purchase something with your good-earned money, and it's as valuable as air, I recommend you have your pastor there. That's why you have them. And you make him be a great pair of ears for you, and he listens. And with Legal Shield, you can get them on the phone. They have an emergency button. It's a $35 a month retaining. They'll write letters for you. So that means they will write letters to that insurance company, to that bank for you. We do have tools, ladies and gentlemen, but we have to reach out and we have to use them. I recommend Legal Shield, and I recommend a good pastor in your city that will be there for you to counsel you before you sign them contracts with them record labels, before you sign them contracts with them insurance companies, because they have a plan before you even sit down where they want to take you, where they want you to go. And so we need another pair of ears, and to have God at the table and to have a good attorney at the table from Legal Shield, I recommend it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Lee, I appreciate you so much. Been an outstanding conversation tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Cannon. I appreciate you and all of our panel. You know, y'all and our listeners, y'all know that I care about you just so very, very much, and appreciate you and thank you. And we don't know where God is taking us, but we know God is taking us. And I'm on here, you know, I'm on this journey, and, you know, with all of your help, and I certainly appreciate it. I appreciate you, Dr. Cannon, for your continued pushing sometimes to, like, okay, I hear you. But
yes,
I thank you. I thank you for who you are, and I appreciate that so very much, and all of you. Kenneth, we're going to ask you back for next week. We want you to give your final thoughts and remarks tonight. You know, I still have a whole bunch of questions, and I appreciate, you know, the book. Remember, you know, any of you who want this book, text 571-998-1964. And our team will get the book out to you. I don't know if Miss Amber is on in the tonight, but she's a godsend, and we appreciate her. I mean, some of you on here know who she is because she's been in touch with you for one reason or another, and has just been great executive assistant. And so, Amber, shout out to you. Appreciate you so very much, and our tech people who have been here from day one. I tell you, I don't know where we would be without you two as well. Just keep me going, and because technology, I tell you, I don't want to do anything with technology, period. I have absolutely no interest. Don't try to tell me, teach me, and tell me, oh, this is easy, you can do it, this app, I don't want to hear it, okay? So I thank God for our tech people, for certain. So, okay, Kenneth, we want to hear you. That will be our final voice that we will hear tonight.
Okay. Well, first I want to, again, thank you for allowing me to join this platform. And I love all the questions, all the comments, all the statements that was made. And remember, I'm here to glean from you, too. I'm here to learn. But there's a couple things that I would just like to mention is this. Remember, in every household, there are six needs I believe everyone should think about in a household. Number one is cash flow, increased cash flow. Number two is college planning, making sure we have something for our future, our kids. Number three is emergency funds. 3 to 6 months of your income should be put up somewhere. I call it a do not touch fund, right? Do not touch fund. Number four, proper protection. You want to protect it against loss of income or even, you know, death, right? Let's just be real. Number five is called build wealth. You want to build wealth in the strategies that's striving to outpace inflation. If you're not outpacing inflation, you're losing money. And last one, which I think is very important, is preserving wealth, reducing taxation, and building a family legacy. Those are the six needs that I think every household should have. And I am here to find out what's most important to you so we can work towards having all those in our household.
Thank you very much, Doctor. And I hope I was able to add a little value to your podcast and to your community. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and you certainly have. And again, I love you all. So next week, this is Dr. Mary Lee. Stay safe. Good night.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West.
Came from the bottom, ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind and it's no promise, and we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slain. Now we locked up again, how much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong, you act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? It never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
Couple of quirks, can't call it pancakes, cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road is still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, race and go. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security, now there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres. Take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb instead of how your back have you beat and lost your mind, especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign, SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. This phone call cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same thug heritage.
Why you